Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy Ron Coomer. And of course, he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. He is one of God's great men, Ron Coomer. Good morning, Ron!
Coom.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing today?
Doing well.
We are living the dream, not just because the Yankees are in town and that's going to be a fun thing. And after the combined no-hitter, I feel like they're just going to shut out that offense. But we'll get to that. But also, it's the start of the football season. The game was played last night, and obviously there is a Bear game at the lakefront on Sunday and a new era in Bears football. It's just a fun time of year.
I would agree. I couldn't agree more. I watched a game last night. That was some game, football game. And then, this series is always entertaining. Pat said it the other day that when the Yankees come to town and you have these two teams play, whether we're, here at Wrigley or at Yankee Stadium, it's something unique and fans love it. The players love it. So I know, the circus will be in town in full force with the Bombers here. And, it will be a lot of fun. It will. And, and then to cap it off, I think Anthony's first time back against the Cubs will be something special. I think he was the face of the franchise during that time when the Cubs won the World Series. And I believe the Cub fans will I would enjoy seeing Tony back.
I'd agree with that, the face of the franchise part, Coom. I also think that last time we talked to you a week ago, it was before the sweep and then the loss to the Pirates series. The Cubs have been toying with our emotions. Day off yesterday was welcomed, I'm sure. Where are you with what's ahead and what's at stake and what they're capable of doing as the Yankees come to town?
Well, you put yourself in a tough position, right, when you lost two or three. That was one of those things that Pat calls certain games trap games. I thought that was a trap series against Pittsburgh. I felt like when you just swept them and you beat the dog out of them, right? And Pittsburgh with the run scored, it was incredible. But they have really good starting pitching, especially a couple of their guys. They got three guys that are really good. And we just faced two of them again in this past series, and that was going to be difficult. So, and it turned out to be that way. I think you're going to know a lot more about where the Cubs stand here in the next 6 days. They've got a really uphill battle to begin with, but then you play the Yankees and the Dodgers here in the next six, and it could all be determined pretty much, if it's not already, pretty much determined here in the next 6 days.
Yeah, it is. It's just a pity that the quality of the opponent is so good, right? Because you don't know what really to expect. I read that Judge has never homered in Wrigley. I'm not sure he's been to Wrigley. I mean, that guy homers for a living.
Right.
We know that Soto is so dangerous. You mentioned Rizzo coming back and his status here. It's just a very difficult time because they have to win too. You know, they're in a battle with Baltimore, and they are still trying to figure out whether or not they're going to be a division winner. They've got a lot to play for.
They do. That's exactly right. The East and the wild card and all of that is up in the air.
Right.
And, you know, so that means you're getting their A game every single night. And they're playing their – well, I guess a home field advantage sometimes doesn't matter because the two wild card teams got in it last year and won it. But when you look at the playoff race, I know in 2016 – how important it was to feeling the feel of having home field advantage in every series, right, for the Cubs. Mm. And the way you looked at that one, wow, we got this series. We, you know, they got to come to us and beat us in our park in front of all our fans. And that's what New York is playing for and Baltimore and those teams out east. So, yeah, you're going to get their A game for sure. That is absolute.
How did old school Ron Coomer feel about a pitcher with a no hitter after 95 pitches being removed and not being allowed to finish the job?
You're going to get me in trouble now, aren't you, Dave? I look at that and I wish he stayed in, but I do understand their situation and I do understand that everybody, you know, they're kind of, it's put in all the pitchers' heads, 100 pitches, and you're coming out of the game, and that's the way it goes, and that's what we're doing. But, you know, there's certain circumstances, I guess, that you wish that wasn't quite the case. I've always felt, and I think when you talk to a lot of pitchers that have pitched in the past, not long past, but recent past, you know, 110, 115 pitches, you know, that's not out of, you know, the realm of day-to-day routine, maybe 120. But, you know, this is not a Cubs thing. It's a league thing, that's for sure. And it was great that they got the combined no-hitter, but I'm sure Soto would have liked to have stayed out there. But I want him to stay in. The simple answer, absolutely. I want him to stay in and keep going for sure.
I can understand that, Ron. It just doesn't happen much, right? I mean, we don't see it anymore like we used to. And certainly you think about him as a Japanese player coming to the to MLB, and he hasn't pitched this many innings. I mean, and that made sense, just being careful about his arm. I wonder if the circumstances were different, if you know, maybe Justin Steele hadn't been hurt or in the IL, or if you felt like you weren't in contention. Whatever it might be, you might have approached it differently, but I think that he kind of made the wise move, if not the correct one for a lot of us. Yeah.
Agree. And that's a great the point that you made about protecting his arm because he hasn't thrown this much makes sense. And they've been doing that all year. Mm-hmm. So that really makes sense to me also, because as much as I'd like to have seen him stay in there, but that makes sense because the way the rotation goes here, as opposed to what it did in Japan, where they had an off day every Monday, you know, you were basically on a 6-day rotation. Now you're not. So they've tried to, I don't want to say protect Shota, but all the guys at times to give them that extra day rest. You know, maybe skip a guy and start once in a while and give them that extra time. So with that being said, and that's part of it. That's part of what I, you know, kind of what I meant about, you know, you gotta, it's in their head, the 100 pitches, it's in their, the rest thing. And, you know, and I believe the one thing you can say about all of that situation, and I'm not speaking about the Cubs, I'm speaking in general about the league, they're consistent. Mm. That's a consistent thing that's not going away and it's not changed. That's for sure. There are other things about pitching that I don't understand, about pitching a lot in the off season and going to these labs and throwing hard. And that comes from like an Alex Cora and some of the guys that are friends of mine that, you know, are involved in managing, and think guys don't get enough rest, that they go to these places and they overthrow and they max effort after a long season to get numbers to see where they're at. And, but that's pretty dangerous too. So, but with all that being said, it's a hell of a performance, I'll tell you that.
Today, the Cubs take on Anthony Rizzo and the Yankees in the series opener at Wrigley. Pregame coverage coming at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have the first pitch at 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. We talked to Tommy Haudovy on Wednesday. He said the Cubs are going to go at Soto and Judge. How wise is that, Coom? What do you expect, and how exciting is it to consider those two guys coming to town?
Well, I think what I'm going to talk to Counts in, what, about 8 hours from now? And he's going to say, I'd really like it if there was nobody on base when they came to the plate. So we got to do a really good job of getting you guys out in front of them. And that is a very smart thing to say, and hopefully that will be the case. You know, when you play teams that have star players, and these two guys are stars, they're as good as it gets when you put a bat in their hand. And Judge is just incredible. I mean, he has great plate coverage. He uses the whole field. You think he made a good pitch away and he hits the ball the right center. And I think he's 6'8", 270. Last time we played him is what is, you know, and you're like, he just kind of went with that ball and hit a ball to right. And it just went 400 feet. And sorry, it's a home run. That's just the way it is. It's a lot like Mark McGwire when you watched him. You know, you didn't think he got it. And next thing you know, it's 20 rows back. So, you really have to do a good job against the rest of the lineup to try to keep those guys from, if they do hit a home run, it's a solo homer, not a 3-run bomb. That's for sure.
Ron, we talked to you last week and we talked about Dansby Swanson. You told us what he was working on, and goodness gracious, apparently the work paid off. He's been red hot over the last week and certainly nearly hit for the cycle. Came up a triple short, as many players will do, it was just good to see him kind of find his way back.
It is. And, you know, like the day that he was close by the fifth inning, him and Pete Armstrong were at the end of the fifth. They were a triple away from the cycle, both of them hitting in the seventh and eighth spot, which is pretty impressive. I'd never seen that before. But the home run that he hit was on a breaking ball, Mike, and it was a breaking ball outer third. Mm. Well, in the past, if you're pulling off the ball a little bit, you don't square that ball up. You either hit it right off the end of the bat, or the barrel drops under, and you swing and foul that ball back. And we've seen a lot of that from Dansby because his approach is more going towards left center field, not back at the pitcher. Well, now he's getting a little more squared up, and when they hang that breaking ball, even though it was out or third, he's able to stay on it and get the barrel on it instead of being underneath it and following it backward, just swinging and missing it. So, you know, with that being said, then he's also using the other side of the field with the fastball sometimes. So things are definitely looking up for Dansby. I know it's been a hard year for him. When you're trying to fix something and you're having a hard time doing it, it's just, you know, it wears on you. But I will say this, at least he's making a lot of headway, and he is swinging the bat well here the last month and a half of the season.
Kuma, I have to imagine the next two series will be somewhat nostalgic for you. A couple of your former teams, Yankees and Dodgers. When you reflect back, when you see the uniforms at Wrigley, what was your favorite moment as a Yankee? What do you remember about your stint in New York?
I think signing with the Yankees on the first day in Yankee Stadium. We opened up the season there, and you walk into the clubhouse for the first time, and you see, you know, Thurman Munson's locker, the number 15 above it, sitting there, you know, empty at the old ballpark, just looking around and going, wow, you know, Ruth was in here, and Mantle was in here, and you're, you know, and there's Yogi walking, and different people, and you're like, you know, you're meeting Whitey Ford. You know, you're meeting Mr. Steinbrenner the first day of spring training, and you just go, okay, this is the Yankees. It's, you know, and it's something. It really is. There's history there that, you know, our entire game, every organization would love to have that history. So that is really cool. And then my very first swing of the bat as a Yankee in Yankee Stadium, I hit a home run, and that was pretty cool.
First swing?
That's pretty good.
First swing of the bat, I hit a home run. Hit a homer to left, had a good day. We won, I think we won 4-2, and I knocked in three of the runs. So I had a pretty good day. My debut as a Yankee in the
pitching?
First series. Wilson Alvarez, my old teammate. I got Willie on an inside fastball. He's pitching around the zone. I'm like, he's going to come inside one time. I know he is. He waited till the end of the at-bat, and I got him to left.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was – you know, when you first swing, your very first game was my first start. Robin Ventura and I platooned at third base that year, so we had two righties open up against us, and then Wilson was game three of the series. So I played game three, and yeah, so that was pretty cool.
I'm curious, you know, we talked about Shota and him not being able to get the no-hitter, but the combined no-hitter. Isak Paredes had three errors in that game. Three. What's your take on him as a third baseman? I think that we knew when that addition was made that they were looking for a better defensive third baseman. Maybe they were looking for a better, more consistent offense. But we haven't seen much different, frankly, from Christopher Morel to him. And I'm wondering, has he solved anything moving forward, or are you still in the same situation?
No, there's a difference, and he's a good third baseman. He is he had a bad day, and he had one play that was really a tough one that he had tough error on where he got an in-between hop. He made the catch, but his body was out of position to make the throw, kind of. And he threw a sinker to Michael Bush, and Bushy couldn't dig it out of the dirt. He had a bad day. You make three errors in a game, you know, with your ace on the mound, he's got a no hitter. That's tough. You wear that one and you bring that one to your locker after the game. And you just, you know, those are sleepless nights, I can promise you. Couple nights before that, he made a catch on a ground ball to his left, diving play. They turn a double play. The Cubs were in a spot at that point. A run scored on that ground ball, but they were bases loaded, nobody out. It turned it into a double play, and the Cubs then next at bat got out of the inning. They scored one run. That could have been the ball game right there. So he's done some really good. You hope that his offensive struggles don't seep into his defense, right? That's the thing you hope. But I've seen him play before. He's going to be a fine third baseman. He's no issues for me there. He's gotten a little bit of a bad habit of throwing the ball from very sidearm, and he's getting some sinkers and he's sailing a couple balls. When he first got here, he was throwing more up top. I don't know if his shoulder's bothering him a little bit or not, but that's usually the case. When your shoulder's bothering you, you start coming down a little lower and your arm angle changes. And right now his arm angle is really low and he's getting some balls sail and he's getting some balls sinking on him.
Great stuff, Coom. Have a great weekend.
Ron. Boys, I look forward to the Bombers in town. It'll be fun at Wrigley Field, and Sunday's going to be fun also. I look forward to good luck to the Bears. I know you guys are going to have some fun this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be listening. Yep, absolutely.
Great stuff. Thank you, Ron. That is Ron Coomer joining us. And we, you know, as he says and as we know, Anthony Rizzo and the Yankees, the series opens at Wrigley, the pregame coverage coming up at 12:45. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer will have first pitch 1:20 in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. And you are listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. And we're going to talk to the man who will be calling that game.
Adam Amin.
Adam Amin will join us next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
So empty it out. Odunze on the top side of the formation to the boundary. Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, that is Adam Amin. With a call of Caleb Williams TD in the preseason, and he's prepared for the big game. He'll be on the call for Fox Sports. The Sanchez, right? The Sanchez will be with him, Mark Sanchez. And we're looking forward to seeing the opener. And Adam joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Oh, we're fired up. We watched the game last night. We got football fever. We're going to watch. I guess we've got to figure out how we're going to watch it. But the boys in Brazil will be going at it tonight. And it's all a lead up to you and the Sanchez getting the Bears season started. The era started, right? Caleb Williams in his professional debut.
That's what it feels like. It does feel like the start of something. And I still don't know how to gauge it. You know, I don't know how you guys have felt it from fans. I'm sure you guys have been talking about it all week. But I feel like, let's say a month ago, maybe even a couple of weeks ago, it was all in. It was, this is the guy. This is the start of a dynasty. You know, like I heard a lot more of that, and that's fine. I'm not disparaging it or criticizing it. I'm just observing it. I heard a lot more of that. And then over the course of the last couple of days, I feel like there's been a little bit more cautious optimism rather than kind of a gung-ho mentality for Caleb being the second coming. I wonder what the general – it feels like the general pulse is a little bit more polarized than I would have thought. And I'd be curious to know what you guys have felt over the last, let's say, 4 days as you guys are getting ready to watch the game on Sunday.
Unabashed enthusiasm. I think okay. There's just excitement that people want to maybe tap the brakes, but it's impossible not to kind of just keep going, because this is unlike anything that a lot of people have ever felt, which makes me curious to know how your partner on Sunday will put it in perspective. You're talking about a guy in Mark Sanchez who comes from USC, went to a major market, high first round draft pick, and had to feel the weight of those expectations. Different scenario, certainly. Caleb Williams, I think, more qualified for the role than maybe Mark Sanchez was, but still the burden will feel just as heavy. Adam, I wonder if you've talked to your partner about that going into Sunday's broadcast.
Yeah, we had a chat about it the other night. I had the television crew over last night to watch the game, the Chiefs-Ravens game, and you know, and I had talked to Mark about it in the past. Like he had the Joe Namath comparisons, right, when he went to New York and he played for the Jets, because that's the gold standard. That, you know, you win a Super Bowl naturally, and the last one for your franchise, that's going to be the quarterback that you get compared to when you come in as a highly touted pick. And well, I think what the difference is for Caleb a little bit in that narrative sense is who do we have to compare him to?
Right.
Are we going back to Johnny Luchak? Are we going back to Sid Luckman? Are we going back to McMahon? Are we going back to Cutler? You know, how far back are we going to go to try to make a comparison? Because it's really hard to find one. And that's where I think some of the added weight comes in. I will be curious, you know, and obviously as we get into the weekend, you know, today's our day to meet with the Bears. Tomorrow we're going to meet with the Titans. Tomorrow night is when we have our big production meeting. So that's when we really have longer discussions amongst each other to try to figure out what the framework is going to be. But that's going to be something I want to ask Mark is, I mean, when we come on the air, you know, 5 minutes before noon on Sunday, how do you want to frame it? What do you want to talk about? Because I think Mark is also of the mindset, and I imagine, again, this is part of the reason I said there's a little bit more cautiousness from some of the people that I talked to, is you don't want to put everything on the kid, right? Because Mark knows what that's like when everything is on your shoulders, regardless of the talent level around you. And I don't think, and this was pointed out to me a couple times, as just as a reminder, and I agree with it, Mark didn't get to go into as good of a situation as somebody like Caleb Williams is going into. And very rarely do we see number one quarterbacks get to walk into the situations that Caleb Williams is walking into with a talent level that's surrounding him. So
I am curious to see what the framework is going to be. Well, I want to hear what he has to say over the course of the next couple of nights as we prepare for Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting perspective because obviously fans aren't looking at it in the context of the difficulty or the history or whatever it might be. There's a lot of enthusiasm from fans, but I think NFL people, when you talk to people, they're a little bit apprehensive about it. And we heard from Bill Belichick on that Inside the NFL show. And he just is the typical kind of NFL observer head coach that looks at rookies and the difficulty and doesn't see what a starved public might be looking at. And I also believe, Adam, that, you know, we've talked quite a bit about this statistic that first overall quarterbacks 0-14-1 in their first start over the last 22 years. And this is such a different situation than that because the Bears were the ninth worst team in the league, not the worst team in the league. And they had improved their team a little bit before they got to the draft. And I think that you look at it and he's in a little bit different situation than most of these first overall picks. I'm not sure that record applies to him.
I mean, and it rarely applies to the individual, right? That rarely does. And I'm kind of thinking of some of the quarterbacks, you know, in that stretch. I think David Carr in 2002 was the last number one overall pick to win, right? So in that stretch, think about who else is in that mix. You know, like Eli Manning playing for a Giant team that was pre or post the two really good defenses that helped them, you know, get the deep playoff runs. Jamarcus Russell didn't have a great situation with the Raiders, if I'm not mistaken. Stafford didn't have a particularly good team in Detroit. Bradford didn't have a great team in St. Louis. You know, Goff didn't have a great team with the Los Angeles Rams at the time. You know, just recent vintage, the Jaguars hadn't really built up their roster after Trevor Lawrence. Joe Burrow, you know, the Bengals, they still haven't at times. So if you look at their roster, it feels like they still haven't really built around it, but their offense they certainly invested in over the last few years. This is different in that context. Again, will it matter to Caleb Williams? Will it matter to this offense? No, it's not going to matter because I think his situation is so much better on offense with the tools and the resources. And then, like you guys pointed out, more importantly, the defense is really good, and the defense has to be, in my estimation, for, you know, the majority of the season. Obviously you want them to be a top six defense, but the first half of the schedule, you know, and Jim Miller and I talked about it during the preseason, with the first half of the schedule being relatively, and I'm using the term relatively for a reason, relatively soft compared to the second half of the schedule where you have all six divisional games. You have the defending NFC champion, San Francisco. You have a Seattle team that's a quality team with a new head coach and what is expected to be a really strong defense. Like, that's going to be a really brutal stretch. So the first half of the slate, while the offense is starting to ramp up and get into form, and you hope it happens sooner rather than later, but as it's ramping into form, the defense is expected to play well right out of the gate. And if they do, then this will be a team that has the opportunity to get Caleb Williams into situations where he can help win a game right out of the gate as a rookie. So I agree with a lot of the – I recognize a lot of the stats. I recognize a lot of the struggles. And I don't want to just dismiss that number either. I do understand that number one quarterbacks, rookie QBs, have had struggles. Every rookie quarterback is going to have some growing pains. I recognize that and I acknowledge that. But I also know that this is a quality team on both sides of the football that can put their star quarterback in a much better situation.
Adam, I really enjoy you doing games for Fox for the Bears because it's a national broadcast, obviously, but you bring the institutional knowledge of a local guy, so you understand some of the dynamics when it comes to, let's say, Matt Eberflus. And I think that inside Chicago, his maybe perception has changed a little bit. Hard Knocks improved it. His offseason has been a good one. But heading into this opener, we can talk all we want about Caleb Williams. He still has a defensive-minded head coach, in quotes, and a guy in his third season that needs to win. How would you describe and how will you present the confidence level that maybe Chicago and the Bears organization has in Matt Eberflus?
I mean, there was no guarantee, right? And that was the kind of narrative at the end of the season last year. I said it many times. Like, I felt that Matt was probably in some form or fashion auditioning for a job in the second half of the season last year, maybe a little towards the final quarter of the season last year after Fields got back healthy. There was no guarantee that he was going to be the head coach going into this season, but I like that Ryan Poles looked at the, you know, kind of felt the temperature of the room and probably felt that it was the right move to bring Matt back and have a little bit of continuity in a key spot, especially if you're going to have some coordinator turnover. And the case that I had made last season was, do you want to turn into the Arizona Cardinals where you're just flipping your coaching staff year in and year out, and suddenly you lack a significant amount of consistency? And with how well the defense played as Matt took over and got a little bit more comfortable and became a better, I think, play caller, and obviously the addition of Montez Sweat helped significantly. I like that he got another shot because I think it's better for the organization. And I do think with how I saw players begin to gravitate towards Matt as a man and as a coach, and the infrastructure seemingly is in place in Chicago where your head coach does not have to be a CEO type of presence. And those improvements combined with wanting some stability, combined with how the defensive guys in particular respond to Matt, I think all those things led to the what I think is probably the right idea in mind to keep Matt Eberflus in that position. And I've been asked by people around the NFL, like, do you think this is kind of a, you know, a make or break year for Matt? It always is, I think, for coaches.
Yeah.
I don't think the Belichicks of the world, the Tomlins of the world, the John Harbaughs of the world, those guys are few and far between where you get that much tenure now in the NFL. And by the way, those are three organizations that for the most part, you know, the Patriots less so after Brady, but those are three organizations that have had significant consistency for a long time. And if that's what you're seeking, I think this was a good move to keep Eberflus around. But every coach is on the hot seat, I think, in the NFL at mm-hmm. this point because of the cyclical nature of it. But I think Matt was the right choice. I think he's in a good position to help himself out as well. And like I said, there are certain organizations where when you get hired as the head coach, you have to be the CEO, the face of the organization, all of that. Like Antonio Pierce in Las Vegas, because of his connectivity to that organization, to that franchise, with the kind of uplifting story that he had late in the year last year of coming in, helping that team play much better, being a, you know, Raider for life and things like that. Like, he's now expected to be the CEO and the front-facing person for that organization now for the next couple of years as they try to get back into consistency and get back into relevancy. Whereas I don't think that's necessarily the infrastructure in Chicago. Like, this is where I don't think there was any doubt left when we watched Hard Knocks. This is Ryan Poles' team, right? He's making the personnel decisions. He's heavily involved. And Matt, I think, gets to do what he's really good at, and that's coach people up. And if that's the infrastructure that's in place, I think that makes it better for this particular organization.
Adam, thanks a ton. Looking forward to it. Everybody fired up.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate you.
Great job.
That is Adam Amin. That'll be fun. It'll
yeah.
be good.
Looking forward to Adam and Mark Sanchez, who's gotten really pretty good as an analyst. I think that I think being paired with Adam Amin reflects that. So it's going to be a fun broadcast on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, 312-644-6767.
Interesting thing that we should mention about the Titans and one of their players when we come back.
Okay, we'll do that. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Jalen's obviously one of the best doing it. Played against him a couple years ago in Arizona. Just watching him on film, his game has definitely improved since then, which is why, you know, he's deserving of the contract that he's gotten. So, you know, he's got to be ready. Two good cornerbacks over there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of DeAndre
Hopkins.
My mind just stopped.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, it turns out, has an MCL in his knee. He was missing time with a knee. He's talking about Jalen Johnson and about the matchup. He's trying to play through this injury, but may yet require surgery. And it's interesting. I mean, we talked earlier in the week about him and what an upgrade he is as a player, even at as he's aging as a player. But if he's got an MCL, that's like I'm going to play with a trick knee. Never mind that my knee is killing me. I can still play at a high level.
So Paul Kucharski is a longtime Titans beat writer, been covering the team for a very long time. So the information he gets is solid. And he had an interview with DeAndre Hopkins yesterday. And in it, Hopkins reveals that he had a tear in his MCL 4 to 5 weeks ago. So he hasn't practiced since July 31st. Mm-hmm. He returned this week. And God only knows what kind of condition he's in, because that's not an insignificant injury. It is not as significant as, obviously, an ACL. And with a tear, you can have a recovery time that's shorter. But when we're talking about an explosive wide receiver whose burst is special and whose ability to go up and get the ball in tight coverage is unique, definitely is could have a factor on how effective he is on Sunday if he even plays. I think if he's out there, his left knee has got to be something to keep an eye on. He didn't rule out surgery.
That's his trick knee.
Well, his trick knee or his bad knee or however you want to refer to it, he's compromised.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, he means a lot to this offense. He's arguably their most explosive player when healthy. But he's not healthy. So that is also something to take into account. Something that's kind of slid under the radar this week, I believe. But it's a big story and a potential major impact on Sunday's game.
312-644-6767. Let's try David. He's in Mount Prospect. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good.
Hey, just wanted to make two predictions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I think the Bears are going to win more games than they've won the last two seasons. And I also think they possibly could go to the Super Bowl and play the Kansas City Chiefs and win.
Okay. Thanks, David. I don't know that I'd go that far. If they win more games than they have the last two seasons, and they will win 11 games, and that is what Dustin predicted.
He predicted that last year, too.
So that's why we're laughing it off, because I predicted it?
You predicted it last year.
No, I'm not laughing it off because you predicted it. I'm laughing it off because he said they're going to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's the laughable part of what he said. What he said about the Bears winning more games than the last two seasons combined is not laughable. It's actually reachable if they can stay healthy and if a lot of things that we've been talking about come true.
Franklin is in Darien. Hey, Franklin.
Hey, good morning, guys. I had a comment to see what you guys think. We all know that Williams is coming in.
Yep.
And if he plays good enough, and then you got all these young players that's never been to the playoffs, and they start seeing that, well, we got a quarterback that can get us to the playoffs and see how far we can go, they're going to play twice as hard. And then we all already know that Poles, he's not afraid to trade second-round picks. We got two of them. He could trade two of those picks, get us a defensive lineman, and an offensive lineman. So what do you guys think?
Well, I think it's ambitious. I think if you have two second-round picks, that you might as well, instead of trading for somebody, you could draft somebody, because that's how you sustain success once you achieve it. You draft well, and you get guys who you start from the ball on out, and they need a pass rusher, and they need an offensive lineman. So why not draft them? Why do you have to trade for someone?
Well, they didn't make a trade for Matthew Judon, because they felt it was a one-year deal.
Right.
And they weren't ready to put all their eggs in that basket, even though it would have been a lot less than it would have been a fourth-round pick, I believe.
But he's 32.
Nonetheless, he'd be a huge benefit to your team, wouldn't he?
There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But I think when you're building this team, I understood the reluctance to do that only because you're telling yourself, you're being honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a Super Bowl team this year, Mully?
Probably not.
Okay. Then I would say don't make that move. And hold on to your draft pick.
You know how I know that? Because they didn't trade for Matthew Judon. If they felt this team was ready for a Super Bowl, if they had a pass rush, one more pass rush, I think they'd have made that.
I agree with that. That's what I'm saying, though. I'm acknowledging the fact that the Bears are not one player away. Now, next year, they could be. Next year, they might be. I still think holding on to that draft pick was the wise move because committing long-term to a 32-year-old pass rusher may help you now, but may hurt you later.
This is from BetMGM. This is a list of the most bet games. Packers-Eagles, the most bet game. Titans-Bears, the second most bet game. And Jags-Dolphins is the third most bet games. And the most bet teams are the Eagles, Titans, and Dolphins. And the most popular bet, the most money has gone on, Eagles -2, Titans -3 in the hook, and the Jaguars +3 in the hook. Same thing with the Jags.
Hmm.
Interesting.
What does that tell you?
It tells you that the line probably grew higher than the sharps wanted it to, and that anything over 3 is usually something that people bet on when it comes down to game time. That's all it tells you. We've got Mark Rohde. He could tell us what everything means. He will explain much meaning to us next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hey, just wanted to make 2 predictions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I think the Bears are going to win more games than they've won the last 2 seasons. And I also think they possibly could go to the Super Bowl and play the Kansas City Chiefs and win.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.